Good morning again, everyone. My name is Fahd Vong, and I'm actually very excited to introduce our guest speaker today, Angel Martinez. Just a little bit of information from him. Angel has been a Christian for about 28 years. He was born in Brooklyn, New York, so he hails from the New York area. Always get a lot of cheers when we talk about New York, I suppose. But Angel currently leads the church in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, and which is amazing. 21 years ago, he came there with a group of 18. Currently now, it's a church of over 850 Christians there in the Dominican, in Santo Domingo, which is awesome. We're so excited to hear him preach. Since he's been here on Friday, he has preached to the campus, the singles, and the teens. He's helped train our staff, and I've heard such great things. He's vulnerable, he's humble, he's wise, and he brings a powerful message. So let's give Angel a great round of applause as he brings us the message this morning.
Thank you much. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Move a couple of things here. I bring you guys greetings from the Dominican Republic and the Caribbean. Thank you. Yeah, bring the mic down to my size. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's good when tall people consider us. It's great to be here in Baltimore. I think it's my second time back. And it's always good to come back up to the States. I like coming up around this time. It reminds me of the cold and how quickly I want to forget it as well. But it's been great to be with the campus students and the teens and the singles on Friday. It was really good hanging. Got my extra dose of fellowship. I think we left real late talking that night and everything. And then I went with Fat and Faye, and we went to get some food. I think at a Korean place that we went to eat, they fry the food in front of you, so that was really good. I think we stayed up till about like 12:30, almost 1 o'clock by the time we got back to the house. So got together with the staff yesterday, and that was good. Spending time with them, having fun, more food. I think you guys are gonna have to roll me out of here. And then we got the International Sunday. You know, then we got service today, and what is there? There's more food. So I know some of us are motivated to come to International Sunday because we see the different cultures, but then we know there's free food afterwards. That kind of helps, right? But I just want to say thank you for the invitation. I want to say thank you to the church for making it possible. Thank you for the Davises for making it possible. We go way back, Scott and Dion. Dion, I remember her as a campus minister in NYU in New York. And that was back in 88, around that time. I think she was even at my baptism. So, you know, she's been around for a while. But it's great to see her. Great to see her husband. Great to see the family. Great to see the bunch of ex-New Yorkers all around here. You know, y'all all over the place. It's like the Book of Acts. It's like, boom, and then everybody went everywhere. It's good to see people I even know from my time in Puerto Rico, came here from Delaware. You know, Calixto Mitzi, it's good to see you guys. And so, you know, but warm greetings from the Caribbean. In the Caribbean, you know, we're 32 churches in 13 nations, over 3,200 disciples. We got disciples of Spanish speaking, French speaking, English speaking, Dutch speaking. So our meetings are really interesting. So when we get together to have our time to meet, you got translation going on all over the place. But it is a great, great time. And just in case there is a table that's setting up roti, please hook me up with some, just in case there is. You know, and if they're not, it's okay. Don't worry. It's all right. But let's pray, and then let's get down to the Word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you for your Word, which is perfect. It is the double-edged sword that reaches our hearts and our soul, Father. And I pray you be with me this morning as I preach your Word, that you take me out of the way, that it'll be you who will preach this morning, that it'll be you who will touch our hearts, that it'll be you who increase our faith and convict us, and just help us to come to know you even better. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. This morning we're going to talk about according to your faith. According to your faith. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because the thing is, this last year was our theme in the Caribbean, that we wanted to talk about what can God do according to our faith? What can he do in the Caribbean? How can he help us to reach even more places and more people and help more people come to Jesus? You know, I read something. It said, the measure of your success or your failure as a Christian is your faith. For the Bible clearly and plainly says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And you know what? I think that's so true. At the end of the day, it really comes down to your faith, my faith. What do you believe or what do I believe? And that's what the Bible makes really clear. It talks about according to your faith. But let's look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 29. The Bible says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and he asked him, do you believe that I am able to do this? That's like the million-dollar question, right? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. You know, if there's a time that it is acceptable to disobey Jesus, this was one of those. Did you notice Jesus would often tell people, don't say a thing, and they would do the opposite? It was one of those kind of occasions where he would say, don't tell anybody about this. Well, what would people do? They would go off and tell people what happened. You know, if there's a great time to disobey Jesus, it's when he's done a miracle in your life and you want to share it with everybody. That's a good time to disobey Jesus. And there was one of those occasions where he said, don't tell anybody. But they went out and spread the word about him because of just this amazing miracle that he had done in their lives. You know, the first thing I want to talk about is keep the faith. Keep the faith. You know, our faith affects us. Your faith affects you. You know, these two men came to Jesus begging him to restore their sight. They were begging for Jesus to be merciful with him, with them. It says they came, and you know, the amazing thing is they went to the right person. And it says that they're calling out to him, and you know, that Jesus went indoors, and they followed him. And when they followed him, he looked at them, and it says, do you believe that I am able to do this? You know, I wonder if that question for them surprised them. If they were taken off base, if they felt like, whoa, hold up, what does this have to do with us? We just want to be healed. We want to be blind. We got issues. We got problems. Fix me. But Jesus said to them, no, do you believe that I am able to do this? You know, and I think the question for us today is, what do you believe? You, personally. Not your Bible talk, not the church, but what do you believe personally? Where's your faith at? Because, you know, group faith is easy, right? This is what we believe. But there's a big difference between this is what I believe. When you're by yourself, when nobody else is there, when it's just you and the Lord, what do you believe? When times get tough, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and everything around you is discouraging. What do you believe? And Jesus looked at these guys and he said to them, he says, do you believe that I am able to do this? You know, the Bible doesn't get into details. It seems, I don't know if their response was immediate or maybe they took some time to think about it. The impression that we get is that it was immediate. They said, yes, Lord, they replied. We believe that you can do it. All good, right? And then look what he says in verse 29. Then he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. I don't know about you. I would have thought, ho, 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 hold up. Wait a minute. No. That's not the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to heal me and that's it. But now you're telling me it's according to my faith? I don't know about that. I don't know if I feel too great about that. How would you have responded if you would have said, all right, you know, and that happens to us. We come to Jesus, we want help, we want him to do stuff in our life. But when he said to you, okay, according to your faith, would it be done? What would you say? How would you feel about that? Would you be like, yeah? Or would you be like, can we get somebody else's faith in here? Can it be according to so-and-so's faith? Because I know they got a lot of faith. But don't let it be according to mine. You see, Jesus is definitely, he can do miracles in anybody's life. It doesn't matter where their faith is at. But he said to them specifically, according to your faith, it will be done. So I ask you the question this morning, where's your faith? If Jesus were to say to you, you know what? These are the things that you're praying about. These are the things that you want to have. Because we pray about a bunch of things, right? We pray about our finances. We pray about our health. We pray about our kids. We pray about our marriage. We pray about our family. But the question is, what do we believe that Jesus can do? What do you believe Jesus can do? And when he says to us, according to your faith, it will be done. You know, the amazing thing is that Jesus, sometimes our faith is not where it needs to be, and he still does miracles. I've had many of those occasions. You've had situations where you're like, I don't know if this thing can happen. I don't even really believe it. And then God blows your mind. You know, the cool part is that God is so merciful. God is so good to us that even when we doubt, he says, you know, I'm going to help you out because you need some help. And it's and the reason why he helps us out, it's to encourage us in our faith, to help us to have more faith, to grow in our faith. Because I don't know how many times in my life I said, I don't know if this is going to happen. And God just does something amazing. Have you ever been humbled by things you didn't believe that God made, and then God made it possible? You ever been through situations like that where you go, Lord, why didn't I believe? Oh, gosh, I was just so faithless. And look what God did. Because he's that good. You know, it's an important question, this one that Jesus asked. It's an important question. He says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Because it's a deep question. It's a revealing question. It makes you look within. And it forces you to check inside. What do I believe? Because your response will affect the outcome. Their response would have affected their outcome. You know, what we believe is what it really comes down to. You know, Jesus spoke these words to two blind men who came to him for healing, letting them know that the quality of their faith played a role in how the Lord responded to their request. How is the quality of our faith today? You know, our personal faith, our belief, what we do has a role. It plays an important role on the outcome of things. And so the scriptures encourage us to keep the faith. You know, a scripture that we know really well, Galatians 6:9. Says, let us not become weary in doing good. We know the scripture well, right? Let us not become weary in doing good. He says, for at the proper time. I don't know about you. I have issues with the proper time. Can I be honest? I have issues with the proper time. You know why? Because the proper time is not a month. It's not a week. It's not a year. It's not even a day. It's at the proper time. Can you be more specific? Isn't that what we want? We would say, Lord, you know, I'd be encouraged. I would hold on. I would persevere. If you just let me know a year, let me know it's going to be in a year or two. Let me know it's going to be next month. Let me know it's going to be in 6 months. I'm good with that, but just give me a date. Do we sometimes struggle with the proper time? But it says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, not your time, not my time, his time. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's what it comes down to. How many people, perhaps God was preparing a great harvest in their life and they never saw it because they gave up, because they walked away, because they stopped believing? God was like, I was getting it ready. Why did you leave? Why did you go? Why did you stop believing? You know, I think the key word here is weary. The Bible tells us here not to become weary. But weary of what? Well, specifically, he says weary of doing good. But the thing is, what is the good that he is talking about? You know, sometimes I think we get weary in our relationship with God. You ever get weary in your relationship with God? Weary of praying. weary of just studying the Bible, weary of persevering, of trying over and over and over again, and feeling like for as much as I get up, I still keep falling. You ever get weary of serving? Let somebody else come in here and serve. I've put in my time. I've put in my miles. I've given my money. I've passed them trays. Let somebody else who hasn't done anything come in here and do it. You ever feel that way? Just leave me alone. I just want to retire. I'll still come to church, but just I'm retired. I'm here. I will come. I'm here. I'm at everything. I give my money, but leave me alone because I'm retired. Sometimes we can still be in the church and be retired. You know, we get weary of serving. Sometimes we get weary of giving. I don't want to give. Let somebody else give. I just want to give to me. Sometimes we get weary of loving. I love you, but you're complicated. We don't say it, but we think it. I love you. You're too tough to love. You're going to have to find somebody else to love you. I'll pray for you. You know how it is. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we get tired of loving. Sometimes we get tired of trying. Just tired of trying. I'm discouraged. Sometimes we get just tired of leading, of helping others. Feeling like people are not grateful. You try to help them and look what they do. Sometimes we get tired of that. Sometimes we just get tired of fighting for our faith. And we're not going anywhere, but we're not really believing much anyway. You know, how do you do that? How do you not become weary in doing good? I only know one way. It's the only one way I know. There might be other ways, but only one way I know is we got to go back to Jesus. The Bible says that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So at the end of the day, we got to go back to him. If he's the author, we got to go back to him. If he is the perfecter, then we got to go back to him. The only way I know how to do this, I got to go back to Jesus. What does that mean? For me, it means having long walks where I can just pray. And I'm leaving all my worries and cares on the road. I'm in the park, wherever it is that I'm walking, where I'm praying. I'm just getting everything out. It means going back to the scriptures that I know that talk to me about how much God loves me and about how much God cares for me, but also going back to the scriptures that challenge me. That's the only way I know. And I think when we get discouraged, when we don't know what's happening, we got to go back to Jesus. And we always got to remember to keep it simple. I remember somebody said, Angel, remember the KISS method. I said, what's the KISS method? Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple. It's never more complicated than really having to go back to our first love, to our the author and the perfecter of our faith. Y'all get what I'm saying? Yes. Romans 4, 18 to 21 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. That's a hard fact to face, right? It says, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. So he faced the fact that he was dead, and then he looked at Sarah and he says, and you too. Double dead. I mean, it was pretty bad. But then look what he says. It says, since he was about 100 years old, Sarah's womb was also dead. It says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Man, that's challenging. It says, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. You know, there's always going to be facts that we got to face, people. Always. Facts that we're going to have to face about ourselves, about our health, about our family, about our kids, about our finances, all that stuff. We're always going to have to face facts. But the question is, how are we going to face it? Are we going to face it with insecurity, with fear, or are we going to face it with faith? Listen, we all go through hard times, and there are days that I'm on point, and there are days that forget about it. It gets so discouraged so easily. But the thing is, though, we've got to always remember to go back to. We look at Abraham. Abraham messed up big time. Any great man of God that you see in the Bible, all of them messed up at one point or another. But you notice what happened is they always kept coming back. They always kept coming back, and they always kept persevering. Like you, I get tired, I get disappointed, I get frustrated, but we can't give up. Why? Because, you know, we got to keep the faith because our faith affects us. It affects how we see life. It affects how we see the situations around us. So we've got to keep the faith and do not grow weary and always go back to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Second and last point, the impact of faith. The impact of faith. Because not only does our faith affect us, but it also our faith affects others. Our faith affects other people and the people, the lives of the people around us. In Matthew chapter 8, we're going to read verse 5 through 10. The Bible says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes. And that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. This story, I've read it for almost 30 years, and it still keeps amazing me. You know, because you look at this guy, the centurion obviously loves whoever the servant is. And he's sick, and he's like, listen, my servant lies home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. And then Jesus says to him, he says, shall I come to heal him? And this guy, being a Roman centurion, understanding the order of things and what he is a part of, he says, hold up, I'm a man under authority. But even as a man under authority, I got people under me. I got people who I tell them, you go that way, and you come, and they do it. So I'm sure you, being who you are in the spiritual world, you've got people above you, but you also have people under you. Just say the word, and it'll happen. The fact that this guy got it like this is amazing. So Jesus looks at him, and he says, you know what? I have not seen faith like that anywhere. And it says in verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. An incredible story. The centurion's faith had an impact on the healing of his servant. Because he says, let it go be done just as you believed it would. You know, our faith affects the lives of other people. It has an impact on other people. I think when our faith is where it needs to be, and even sometimes where it's not needs to be, but even if we just got a little bit, God can do amazing things through that. I want to share with you guys some stories of faith that I hope will encourage you guys today. Some of the stories of faith of what God can do when we believe in him. You know, sometimes we can ask ourselves, what kind of impact can I have if I'm young? If I'm a teen, if I'm a campus student, what kind of impact can I have? Well, I want to let you know something. You can have a great impact. You can go on the next slide, please. Next. There you go. Thank you very much. Let me move out of the way here real quickly. But this is a story I wanted to share with you guys about La Caraballo family. And this is an amazing story because this young man over here, Andres, on the right-hand side, he was, I think, 14 when he started visiting church. He was invited by one of the mission team members. And when he started coming to church, he loved it. So much so that he invited his older brother, Anderling, on the left. And when he invited Anderling, they both started liking it and coming to church pretty consistently. So much so that mom got concerned. She's a Dominican mom. She's like, where are my kids going? I want to know where my kids are going. Where are they at? So she went to church more just to investigate what was going on. But you know what happens when people come and investigate, right? And they're sitting there week after week, month after month. She started hearing the word. She started getting interested in studying the Bible. She starts studying the Bible. A couple of weeks later, Andres gets baptized. A few weeks later after that, Anderling gets baptized. A couple of months later, mom is baptized. But then, oh, no, it gets better. Hold up. But then you got Dad, Saturnino. And what happens? Saturnino, he's working about 2.5 hours away in Punta Cana. And he's got a great job. And so he starts studying the Bible, but here comes the challenge. He's away during the whole week, and it can only come on in basically on Saturdays to be at church on Sunday and heads back out. And so it's like, listen, no, you've got to be able to be at everything, got to be able to be at the services. But that to him was a step of faith, because it was a great paying job. And in a third world country where you've got a lot of economic situations, it was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. So it took some time to get his faith where it needed to be. But he finally made a decision. You know what? I'm going to trust in God. I'm leaving this job. I'm going to get another job. And God is going to take care of it. He keeps studying the Bible, makes a decision. He's baptized. And the Lord provided him with a job in La Romana, which amazingly pays more than what he was making before. So then you've got Angelis that are on at that time when all of them are getting baptized, which is like about a year or 2 year process. She's only about 12 years old. So 3 years later, at the age of 15, last year, Angelis, their youngest daughter, was baptized. That is the impact that one person, a teen, can have. It doesn't matter if we're young. This is all a process. This is 5 years in the making. That is what God can do. Amen? You know, sometimes what can we do when it doesn't seem like our prayers are being answered? You ever feel like that? Like, I've been praying this thing for years, years and years. You know, God still encourages us, even when it doesn't seem like our prayers are being answered. Next slide, please. The Sosa ladies. This is the Familia Sosa. These are all the women of the family. And this is a wedding picture. Rosemary, off to the left of Janine, who was the person getting married, she was the older sister. She was invited into campus ministry, started studying the Bible, and was baptized when she was 18 years old. She invites the second sister to come along over on the right, Suhei. She starts studying the Bible. A number of months later, she's baptized. Then Cynthia, who was in the teen ministry, who was a teen at that time, was about 14 years old. She starts studying the Bible, and she's baptized as well. Mom, being a Dominican mom, is like, okay, hold up. She's been at every baptism, and she's been watching this because she's like, God, we don't know who you people are. But she starts coming, she starts investigating, she starts hearing, she starts studying the Bible, and she's baptized. And then Janine was in the children's ministry. Pobrecita. She was only around 9 years old at the time. So a number of years needed to go by. But at the age of 15, Janine Sosa, who you see there getting married, was baptized. But this is amazing, all in and of itself. But there was a holdout. Next slide, please. Dad. Rafael Sosa. Why are the men many times the holdout? It's like, you know, what's up with that? But here's the holdout, Rafael. Now, Rafael, we call him the primo, el primo, which means the cousin. Why we call him the cousin? Because everybody who he says hi to, he calls him cousin. Hey, cuz, hey, cuz, hey, cuz, hey, cuz. So he is the cuz, el primo. So what happened? El primo had been coming around for 18 years. And the thing is, he would come to service every once in a while, and you know, special services and stuff like that. And he was always friendly. And you know, and then with time, you know, he got to a point where even he was a handyman. He's a guy who does a little bit of everything. So he has been in almost every disciple's home repairing something. So after a while, you know, he would be like, you know, he'd give some money sometimes and some contribution, and he'd try to help with this thing or that thing, different needs. But committing himself to Jesus, And you don't know how many talks, how many dinners, how many of those things we had, and it was like, not happening. The man would just not hand himself over to Jesus. So one day he tells his wife, he says, Eudocia, por favor, please. He goes, can you get me a Bible? And he said, she says, what? She goes, yeah, can you get me a Bible? Don't ask me a lot of questions, just get me a Bible. So they buy him a Bible, and he just starts on his own reading the Bible. His daughter, who was, you know, his youngest daughter, who at the time was living with them, caught him at 6 o'clock in the morning reading his Bible. So she snapped a picture and sent it to our WhatsApp group. And she's like, pray for my dad. Look, he's reading the Bible. He just doesn't want anybody to know. So by himself, he starts coming to church. By himself, didn't tell anybody in his family. He just starts showing up on Wednesdays, starts showing up on Sundays. And next thing you know, he's going to church every Wednesday and every Sunday. And then he starts popping up at Bible Talk. And everybody's like, what's going on here? And then he comes up to the brothers. He says, I want to study the Bible. And a year later, almost a year and a half later, Rafael Sosa was baptized. 18 years in the making. And you know, if a picture's worth 1,000 words, that's like about 10. You know, his wife at that moment was sharing with him, and she said, Rafael, 18 years of praying for you. 18 years on my knees. And after she kept sharing a little bit, this baptism took about a half hour between all the kids sharing and everybody. But at different points where she was sharing, he just kind of put his head down, and she lifted him up by his chin. She said, look at me. 18 years. 18 years. So you imagine at the end of the baptism, everybody bawling. You know what I mean? Everybody. But it was amazing what God can do. But that's, again, that's the power of faith and perseverance. You know, another thing. You know, you ever had an invite rejected? None of y'all ever been something like, no, you never. You ever invite somebody and they just say no or walk away from you? No, you've never had that happen, no. You know, what can God do when an invite is rejected? Next slide, please. This is the story of Susanna and Giovanni. You know, a sister, we got a metro system, an actual train system in Santo Domingo. And a sister was on the train, and she was inviting a girl to church. And the reality is that the girl that she was inviting wasn't too interested, but she kept in there and come and, you know, and all this stuff we do. And so she was inviting her and telling her about the church and everything, but she didn't know that Susanna over to the right was listening. And she was hearing the invite and hearing about the church and hearing about what they do and all the different things that was going on. And she didn't know it, but she was taking down the information. She took down the address. She took down the church time. But she wasn't able to get the sister's number because, you know, she just wasn't able to catch all the info. So what happened? Sister leaves the train. The person who was invited leave as well. And she shows up to church on Sunday. She shows up to church on Sunday and they ask her, so who invited you to church? She's like, I have no idea. There was a girl who was inviting somebody else. I overheard the conversation. I came to church. Came to church, loved the service, started studying the Bible, tells her husband, Giovanni, you need to come. You need to come. You need to come to church. Both started studying the Bible. Both are baptized. That's a picture from the day of their baptism, and that's her little daughter right there. That's what God can do. You know, you can also think, okay, what can God do when there's no church nearby? You ever had that situation? Well, what can God do when there's no church nearby? What can he do? Well, he can still do some pretty amazing things. Next slide, please. There's a picture of Wagner Mendez. He's one of our mission team members. And Wagner, the amazing thing about Wagner is, Wagner, the way he was baptized, it's a pretty incredible story. He was dating a girl from a long-distance relationship, you know, and he was dating a girl who was in Mexico, and he's in the Dominican Republic. And they had met in the university. He was doing his master's at the University of Michigan. And what happened is she's invited by the church in Mexico City. And she tells him, listen, I want to invite you to church. And he says, great, let me know where it is. She says, at that time, we weren't there yet. Our church wasn't there yet. This is before 94. And she says, yeah, let me know. How do I get to the church? She's like, well, the closest church to you is in Puerto Rico, another island. And he's like, oh, okay. But he actually said, all right, I'll figure out a way to make it happen. A couple of months later, Wagner hops on a plane and goes to San Juan, Puerto Rico. He gets together with the brothers there, starts studying the Bible, makes a decision, and is baptized. But what's happening? He's trying to figure out, okay, so I'm living here in Puerto Rico, but I've only come with a visa to just kind of, you know, visit. I can't really work. And so a guy here who's an agronomist and has got his master's degree or two master's degree in economy, he's doing odd jobs and cleaning up the brother's house to make some money so he can stay there. By the grace of God, about 6 months or 9 months later, the church in Santo Domingo was planted. And a couple of days after we were there, Wagner arrives and he becomes part of our mission team. And he's been an amazing member ever since. And what happened? But Wagner was with the big church there in Santo Domingo for a number of years. But then when we went to plant the church in Santiago, he says, I want to go over there and I want to help with the church. God bless him. And when he was in Santo Domingo, got married, had two daughters. And then when he goes up to Santiago, made the decision for himself, also made the decision. He's like, you know, as our family, we want to go. We still want to be on the mission. We still want to love people and serve. And the incredible blessing is to see him baptizing his 15-year-old daughter, Gianna, over there in Santiago. And so it lets you know when we step out on faith, this is what God can do. You know, next slide, please. This is the Santo Domingo Church building. 5 years ago, God blessed us with the opportunity to be able to buy a piece of land. 4 years ago, he blessed us with being able to inaugurate this building. But let me share this story. You know, because it is a blessing. You know, the reality is, I'll tell you, with us, the reason why we got into a building, not because we wanted one, is because we had nowhere else to go. The reality is the places got for us so expensive to be able to rent that for at least 2 to 3 years, we met in parks and we met in houses. That was just our situation. It was, you know, we were able to find like an old abandoned, an old supermarket that we were able to kind of fix up to be able to make it, you know, into a place that we can meet. And we were able to lease it, and we leased it for 6 years. But at the end of the, almost halfway through the contract, the owner of the place says, listen, at the end, it's either one of two things. I'm going to either double the rent or you need to go. It's either one of two things that need to happen. So what happens? We said, hey, we don't have money to be able to do this. So somebody comes up and he says, listen, let's do a building fund. And I'm like, building fund? I said, we ain't going to get nowhere with a building fund, trust me. But as we began talking with the church and talking with people about the need, and do we want to go back to carrying bags again, the children's ministry and the sound system, and all that, do we want to go back to houses and the parks again and getting rained on and all that other business? People are like, no. So that little building fund started ever so slowly. But as we started coming to the end of the contract, God blessed it, and we're able to raise up enough money to buy a piece of land. But what happened? All the money went there. Majority of the money went. So we said, what are we going to be at? What are we going to do? And a brother, an amazing brother, was converted in campus, him and his wife, he's an architect, she's an engineer. He says, listen, I am willing to design the building and supervise the work free of charge. He donated his talent and, oh, no, hold up. It gets better. There's more. It's like the song, and that's not all. There's more besides. But then what happens? He goes up, he makes the design, we present this before the church. And on his own, he decides, I'm going to give $25,000 of my own money to this project. And I want to challenge other people to do similar. This caused a ripple effect in the church that caused that so many people decided. It inspired me. I'm like, I'm going to sacrifice. What do I got to give? And people who, you know, a sister who had saved up for a brand new car said, I'm giving this money. Other people had started giving for this thing, started giving that thing. Other people started going to jobs. And so many different ideas. God bless it. Somebody came up with the idea of a raffle, you know, and we were able to buy a used vehicle that was about a year old, and that cost about $15,000. And after paying back that money, that raffle, God blessed it, and we were able to raise $100,000. Three garage sales, which when somebody told me, let's do a garage sale, I'm like, most Dominicans don't have garages. Three garage sales later, $30,000 was raised up. What happened? Everybody just got into this. Everybody just started getting into this thing, and they started saying, okay, I don't have money, but you know what? I can work with wood. I can work with electricity. Electrical engineer said, I'm going to do the design plans for all the electrical stuff. A guy says, I know how to work with this. He who knew how to paint, paint. He who knew how to pick up, picked up. Everybody got into it. And for a moment there, I was sharing this yesterday at the staff, for a moment there, I saw acts where nobody acted as anything was their own. Everybody came together to help. And by the grace of God, this place was built. But for me, the most amazing thing. Oh, one other thing. Before we came to the end of finishing the building, we came up short. The money had run out. And four couples in the church on their own said, we will refinance our homes and lend the church the money. And by the grace of God, 2 years later, in a country where they do not lend money to churches or to schools or to hospitals, because it just doesn't look good when they have to kick the people out. We were the second church that one bank lent money to, and we were able to pay all these people back. We're responsible. And by the grace of God, this building is 70% paid off. Here's a couple of shots. That's a picture of the main hall there. That's kind of a panoramic shot. That was a singles Devo that we had out there. And next slide, please. And that's a Women's Day that was a couple of years ago out there. Next slide, please. And that was our 21st anniversary last year, where we celebrated 21 years with the church there. But I share all these things to let you know, this is what God can do. You know, when we lost our support, you know, we needed to figure out a way to survive. But we figured as a church, we cannot go back. We need to move forward. In 2004, we began a new region in the east part of Santo Domingo. And it began with about 80-something people. They're now over 200 disciples in the east part of the city. In 2005, we said we got to move forward. We planted a church in Santiago. And there are about over 70 disciples in the church in Santiago right now. 2008, we said we got to move forward. The Lord sent us east, and we went to La Romana. Nobody had problems going to La Romana. It's a beautiful place, a lot of beaches. But basically, from going from no place to meet and going from this tough situation to seeing what God can do, let me tell you something. The average salary in the Dominican Republic is $400 a month. So how was this made possible? God. That's the only way I can explain it. God. God is what makes this possible. And you know, even something that was amazing, the marriage ministry in the region that I'm in, you know, there were two Bible talks that was just struggling. You ever known the two Bible talks struggling? The people leading it are not happy, and the people in it are not happy. But these two married Bible talks are struggling, and the two brothers came up to me, that they were discouraged. They were like, they didn't know if they would even want to continue leading these Bible talks. So what happened? I said, guys, why don't you just get together and encourage one another? Maybe that'll help. You know, and at least you two can encourage one another and everything. And these two brothers got together, and I love it, but they decided to team up and to work on faith. They decided not to focus on problems, not to focus on people who were not interested. And yet we were trying to help them and get people back in. But they decided we got to just help others. And the interesting thing is one couple invited another couple one day to come to church. They started coming. They started studying the Bible. And as they started studying the Bible, the interesting thing is, as they started studying light and darkness and sin and what repentance is, they started saying, well, hold up, these are the things that you're teaching us, but the people who invited us, they ain't doing this. And so after they were done studying light and darkness and studying sin and repentance, then we got together with this couple to talk about their lives as well. And it was good, because the amazing thing is the couple that they invited was baptized, and this couple was restored in their faith. And they even shared it the day of the baptism. They said, they thank us for inviting them, but we thank them for helping us get back to Jesus. But that married ministry of two struggling Bible talks, by the grace of God, there were about 15 people at that time. And some people left and some people stayed. But now there are over 130 disciples, married disciples in the ministry. So what am I saying with all this? According to your faith. Keep the faith, people. We got to keep the faith. We got to keep persevering. We got to not go away, because I believe God can do a lot more in Baltimore than what we've seen so far. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because you got to understand one thing. Your faith affects you, but your faith also affects others. God bless. Gracias. Se le quiere de corazón. I love you. Thank you for the time that it's been great to be here.